Praise God. Now, we're going to look at the Word of God tonight. And if you remember last week, we were beginning, I started looking at something on the race of faith. We looked at Hebrews chapter 12. And we saw last week in Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 that, you know, there is a race set before each and every one of us. God has appointed each and every one of us to run a race. And it's an individual race. You know, I can't run your race and you can't run my race. We've all got to run our race together. You know, we touched on, as it says in Hebrews 12, we touched on the great cloud of witnesses that it mentions. And they're talking about these men and women of faith here, recorded in chapter 11. You know, we said that, you know, our loved ones that have gone before us, you know, my mum, your dad, and others that we've loved, you know, they're part of those witnesses today. You know, looking on. They've run their race, they've completed their course, and now they're in heaven's grandstands, you know, watching and waiting for us to complete our course and run our race. So that's what we began looking at last week. And I want to continue just thinking about that theme of the race tonight. And you know, I was just looking, just before I came out tonight, I was looking at some commentaries and some books about these two verses. And I was actually quite surprised. Because there's a statement made in verse 1, which written books seem to overlook. They spent a lot of time dealing with the great cloud of witnesses. And they spent a lot of time talking about running the race with endurance. And there's a lot of writing about looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of it. But not many people wrote on the statement, which I want us to consider tonight, is this statement found in verse 1. It says, I'll read the verse. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and it's this statement here, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where we're cut the quotation off there. But this statement here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us. Now, no person involved in any type of athletics or any sport for that matter, you know, it doesn't matter what sport or you're involved in, no one just turns up at the event and either plays the game or runs the race. You know, every athlete, every sportsman, really even other not just in the sporting world, every sort of facet of work and life, you don't just turn up and do a job. There's a lot of preparation that goes into that, a lot of training, a lot of behind the scenes stuff. You know, singers don't just turn up on a concert stage and sing a song. You know, they practice, they train their voice, you know, they look after their vocal cords. Musicians, you know, they're forever practicing and playing. They don't just stand up and play. You know, it's like it in church as well. You know, don't stand up and preach. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. You know, and sportsmen or athletics, they don't just turn up on the event day and just run a race or play the game or whatever they're involved in. They train. And there's an intense training schedule that they have to keep. I remember seeing the film, I suppose you take it you've all seen it, the Rocky films. You know, Rocky didn't just turn up at in the boxing ring and fight the guy. You know, there was, you know, you get all those pictures on the screen where he's training, he's running, and he's up early, and, you know, he's sort of pounding the streets with his feet and running with the bicycle running next to him. And an intense training program, and every athlete, every sportsman, every professional really has that intense training schedule. Now, it's different for different sports. Runners must know how to run the race. They must be confident at overcoming hurdles. They must they practice the sprint. You know, so they fine-tune their game, if you like. You know, in a football match, the goalie's not so much interested in practicing shooting penalties. Now, he practices saving penalties. Now, he has people shooting penalties at him. So then he's there practicing. He goes down time after time, just practicing these saving these penalties. Whereas the players, you know, they don't worry as much about stopping the ball. They don't worry about firing the ball, getting the ball in the net. So there's a different training schedule for each and every individual. Now, there's also a strict diet they have to follow. You know, they have to eat the right food. You know, they can't just be sort of filling themselves up on crisps and chocolate and fried chicken and all those sorts of things. You know, they have a nice, balanced diet that they have to follow, strict diet. They've got to wear the right kit. You know, they can't turn up in the wrong kit. They've got to wear the right kit. They need to have the correct footwear on. You know, so they don't slip, they don't fall. They've got to have the right mindset. You know, we touched on that last week. You know, you've got to have that winning attitude. You know, and the apostle, writing this letter to the Hebrews, he encourages us, every one of us, in the race that we are running, to be prepared. Now, how do we get ready? Well, he tells us in this verse, in verse 1, he says that we've got this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. They've run their race, now they're cheering us on in ours. So we've got to get prepared for this race. We've got to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, anything that's going to pull us back or hold us down. Anything to pull us back off. You know, quite a few years ago, I used to do a bit of work in around the city of London. And for ease of work, I didn't drive into the city. I went in by train. And took the public transport, went on the underground or on the buses. And it was surprising how many people, because my grandparents used to live on the line that went out to Heathrow Airport. You know, you used to see, when you was in the city, you used to see a lot of people running for the train with their suitcases, trying to make sure they got on the... And when you're trying to carry a suitcase and trying to run, it holds you back. It's a weight. It's something that's going to pull you back and hold you down. Now, if you're going to run, you want to leave your suitcase and then run. But obviously, you won't have your clothes with you. But anything that holds us back, or weighs us down, or pulls us up a bit, is considered a weight. In actual fact, when the scripture talks about laying aside every weight, you know, the weight they've talked about here is things that will bring us out of the spirit realm back into the natural realm. You know, our race is, we're not running a physical race, we're running a faith race, a spiritual race. And it's our walk with God, and we've got to run that race with nothing holding us back. I want you to listen just to a couple of other translations of this statement. We read here, let us lay aside every weight. Now these are just gone through a few translations of the Bible that I've got at home. And the Amplified Version says this, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight. The Barclay Version says this, let us get rid of every impediment. The New International Version tells us, let us throw off everything that hinders. One of the modern translations, the New Century Version, says we should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way. One of the Knox, which is actually a Catholic version, it says this. It says, let us rid ourselves of all that weighs us down. Moffat, He tells us to strip off every handicap. The contemporary English version says we must get rid of everything that slows us down. Weymouth writes, let us fling aside every encumbrance. And this one, I really like this one. This is the Living Bible. It says, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. That's how we're to run. Stripping off anything that slows us down or holds us back. You'll notice that the athletes, they strip down to shorts and vest when they're running. They don't run in their coat and their trousers. And you know, they take it right down to the bare minimum. So they're not carrying any weight. Nothing that's going to slow them down. Nothing that's going to get filled up with wind as they're running. They don't run with a hoodie top on. Otherwise the hood will get, you know, like a parachute, you know, pull them back. But a weight, and this is, we must remember this, a weight, I think I said this last week, is in itself may not be wrong. You know, they tell us to get rid of all these things. Anything that slows us back, anything that holds us back and slows us down, get rid of it. But it might not be something that's wrong. What do I mean by that? Well, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul from Corinthians. He says this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, on that occasion, he was talking to the Corinthian church, and he was you know, there was a lot of problems. You know, people were, Christians were taking one another to court and going before the magistrates, and little problems. And he said, look, he said, can't we just live together in harmony? He says that there's a sin. And he goes on to talk about sins, and he says, look, not everything is helpful. Now, it might be lawful, you might be allowed to do it, but it might not help you. Now, he went on later on, things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And what he was addressing at that thing was, because there was some in the church saying, well, people shouldn't eat meat, they should only eat this type of thing, and they shouldn't have this, they shouldn't drink, and he's saying, look, he says, all things that you can have what you like, he says, you can eat what you like, he says, but it might not be helpful. And he goes on to explain some situations that were going on in the church. You know, if it causes your brother to stumble or sin, then go without. You know, don't have it. You know, don't invite somebody round for a meal and give them something you know they don't like eating or they can't eat because they don't believe in bacon. Was one that the Jews didn't eat bacon. They didn't have pork. It was it's unclean. The Bible says that the pig is unclean. So you wouldn't invite somebody around from a Jewish house and serve them up a ham salad because they don't eat pork. So he says, there's nothing wrong with, there might be nothing wrong with it. You might like to have it, but don't serve it to someone who doesn't want to eat it. You know, it doesn't build, it's not good. It doesn't build up. It doesn't edify. Now, the things that are not helpful or not edifying are weights. You know, they can keep us back. They can prevent us from running to our fullest potential. Now, what sort of things are weights? Let's have a look at some illustrations here. Distractions are weights. If a runner's distracted while he's running, it's going to hold him back. It's going to prevent him from competing at the highest level. A distraction, what does a distraction do? Well, it takes our attention and our focus off of what it should be on. In our walk with God, our race of faith, a distraction will take our eyes off of Jesus. That's what it goes on to say. It says that's what we should be doing, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of ever. So if our eyes come off of Jesus, we're distracted. Jesus taught the parable that no man who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Not because he's took his hand off the plough, or he's looking back, but because he's not going to be able to go straight. He can't run effectively. He can't do his job effectively. You know, if you're looking behind you when you're driving a car, you're not going to go in a straight line. You're distracted. And many, and actually a lot of accidents in car accidents are caused by distractions. You know, people are distracted, they're fiddling around with the CD player or they're, you know, doing something else, you know, looking in the mirror and making sure their hair is nice and tidy. And that's when accidents take place. Well, they take their eye off the traffic and they don't realise that the person in front has actually put his brakes on. Distractions. Now, what can distract us? Well, it might be a situation where you suddenly find yourself in. You know, the Apostle Peter was distracted. He was walking on the water to Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the wind and the waves. He was distracted and he began to sink. You know that the wind and the waves. Now, the wind and the waves aren't wrong. They're not wrong. You know, it's not. You can't say, well, we shouldn't have the wind and the waves because, you know, they're part of nature. But they caused Peter to be distracted. He was walking on the water, he was walking on the waves. He wasn't bothered by the wind until they become a distraction to him. And he began to look at them and think about them, and then he began to sink. His eyes were off of Jesus. Now, our natural abilities can cause us to be distracted. We can be so preoccupied that, well, we can't do this, or we can't do that. You know, we haven't got the strength to do this. You know, we haven't got the talent for that. Or quite the opposite, you know, we get distracted because we have an ability. You know, we might think that will get in the way of what we want to do. We can become so preoccupied by what we think we can or we can't do that it causes us to take our eyes off of Jesus and we get distracted. Persecution can be a distraction. One of the enemy's most common tactics is to try and trip us up with persecution. So why is persecution a distraction? Well, when we're persecuted, we start thinking about why these people don't like us. You know, why these people are persecuting us. Why are they saying all these things against us? And once we get thinking about them, we've not got our eyes off of Jesus. We've got our eyes off of, our focus is moved from where it should be onto them. You know, why are they doing this to me? You know, why aren't, what have I ever done to them? Why, I don't deserve this. I don't, and we get distracted. Jesus warned us about some distractions that we find in the world. In his parable, in the parable of the sower, riches, the lusts of other things, he said. These are all distractions. Another distraction is how we might occupy our leisure time. Perhaps our hobbies or our leisure activities might distract us from our race. And it's something for us to think about. You know, do we spend more time reading newspapers and magazines than we do the Bible? Do we spend more time watching telly or surfing the internet than we do in prayer? You know, do we spend more time on satisfying our pleasures than we do trying to please God? And these things, they're not wrong. It's not wrong to have leisure time. It's not wrong to watch the telly. It's not wrong to work on your hobbies, do a bit of gardening, whatever it is you like to do, but we mustn't let them become a distraction to us. Well, we can't come to church today because we've got to sow some seeds in the garden, or we've got to pull the weeds up. Now they're starting to become a distraction. I can't spend time praying because my favourite telly program's on. I can't read the Bible. Or, if you can't read, you can't listen to it on the CD because I've got something else to do. There was one woman in the Bible who was very distracted. Her name was Martha. I don't know if you remember the story in the scriptures where Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house. And he said that, it says in the scriptures that Mary sat and listened to Jesus' teaching. And Martha was busy preparing a meal. She was busy looking after the things in the house. And she came in and tried to tell Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me. Jesus says, Martha, he says, oh, Martha. He says, you're worried and troubled about many things, but Mary's chosen the good part, and that won't be taken from her. You know, don't let what we are doing, you know, distract us from what we should be doing. You know, are we actively preparing and training for our race? Or are we just sort of slobbing about and, you know, wasting time? You know, let's make sure we're preparing, training, you know, looking after our spiritual diet, making sure we're feeding on the right things. Can you imagine what it'd be like for an athlete if she's running a race and she's got long hair and it keeps flopping down in front of her face and she keeps trying to brush it back? And that's why they were wearing tied back or in bunches. Or, well, not bunches, are they? Pigtails, whatever they call them. Ponytails. They have it tied back or cut short so it's not causing them a distraction. Something that really annoys me when I don't run that often, but if I have to run for something, it annoys me, is having keys or change in my pocket. You can imagine sort of what it would be like for some of these great athletes, you know, out and running around the track and they're trying to hold their keys and hold their change. It's a distraction, so you need to get rid of it. You know, you take it and you don't take it on the track with you. Or there's the person running around the track who's got a stomachache because he's had a dodgy hamburger before he's run his race. Mm-hmm. Now, these things are distractions. We've got to make sure that we are preparing for the race. And then it says that laying aside every weight, you know, get rid of all those weights. So then it says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, weights aren't necessarily wrong, but sin is. Now, you can have weights can be good and even righteous things. We can even be involved in the work of God, and that can distract us from running our race. We can be so busy doing something, we think, like in the church, that we're not doing what God really wants us to, but we're doing something that's good. Now, that can be a weight, but sin is not a weight. Sin is wrong. Sin is, well, actually, our Bible here tells us, it says it ensnares us. Sin is a snare. It's a trap. It's something which needs to be dealt with. In actual fact, the Bible says this. It says the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know, we've got to watch out for that. You know, sin's got that habit of creeping up on us and grabbing us. And before we know where we are, we've given in to it. Now, it's so easy to trap us. And how do we deal with it? Well, we confess it, we repent of it, and we put it right with God. We deal with it, get it out of the way. Again, let me run through some translations here from other versions of the Bible. It says here, Coney Beer's translation says, and the sin which clingeth closely round us. The basic English version says, and the sin into which we come so readily. Weymouth writes, and the sin which so readily entangles our feet. Moffat, the sin with its clinging folds. I like J.B. Phillips. As I said last week, you know, that's what was being read from, still in Matthew. But when we get to Hebrews, this might be one of the messages. The sin which dogs our feet. The Revised English says this, and the sin that all too readily restricts us. And again, I like the Living Version of this. It says, especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. Because that's what a snare does. A snare, an animal snare, an animal trap, catches the animal by the legs, by the feet. They put their feet on it and it closes shut on them. And that's what sin's like. It's like a snare, like a trap. And it will grab our feet and trip us up. You know, the words ensnares, we read it in our version here, the sin which so easily ensnares us, literally means to thwart or to sabotage. You know what it is like when you perhaps sabotage a race, you know, like cut the spikes off the runner's shoes. so he can't run his race. You know, trying to sabotage the race. Or, you know, a runner that crosses out, he crosses right in front of somebody when they're on the track and stops them, prevents them from getting by, trying to sabotage their race, thwart their race, to trap them, or to cause them to stumble is another meaning of this word, ensnare, to cause to stumble. And sin always causes us to stumble. Sin will always sabotage our race, our walk with God. You know, Paul writing to the Corinthians again, you know, the Corinthians were a bunch of, a church, had a lot of problems, had a lot of good points and a lot of problems in the church. So he dealt with a lot of things, did the Apostle Paul, to the Corinthian church. And he said in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, Paul writes this. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he says, "Do not be deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, the unrighteous will not win the prize. Sin will stop us from winning the prize. Sin will stop us from winning our race. It will cause us to stumble. It will cause us to fall. So what must we do? We've got to run light. We've got to lay aside all the weights. Everything that holds us back. Everything that's going to prevent us from running to our fullest potential. We've got to deal with the sin. Don't let it have dominion over us. You know, we can conquer sin. I said that on Sunday. You know, Jesus did it. That means we're able to do it. Jesus didn't do it because he was God or because he was the Son of God. He did it as a man. And that was part of the message on Sunday. You know, because he did it as a man, that gives us hope that as men, as women, that we can do the same things. We can overcome sin. I want to just finish with one verse from a gift. I seem to be picking on the Corinthians tonight. Another verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And here Paul's writing. He's writing about a race, actually, in this chapter. I want to read from verse 24. But it's really, it's the last verse of this chapter I want to just consider tonight. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." I mean, you've got to run light, so you're fast, so you're running to win. Run so you might win the prize. "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable one. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." Then listen to this. This is about training. This is about preparation. This is about laying aside the weights and getting rid of the sin. He says, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." You know, my final thought tonight is that a disciplined body is not disqualified. You know, sin will disqualify us in the race. The weights will hold us back and disqualify us. But if we discipline our body, we discipline our lives, and we bring it into subjection to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, to the things of God, then we will not be disqualified. We'll run our race. We will run. And we will finish the race and receive the crown. So lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us. And then Paul says, and let us run with endurance. Now endurance we're going to look at on another occasion. Might not be next week, but we'll see how the Lord leads us. Amen.
I'll say a word of prayer then.